Hey, what's up? This is Aaron Dodson, and you're listening to the Give Me Understanding podcast. Psalm 119, verse 34 best describes this podcast. The psalmist wrote in the long ago, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." I think this is the third episode where I'm discussing a striking contrast between Christianity as per scripture and what is commonly called Christianity in the religious world, aka denominationalism. The first episode, I did an introduction where I asked some difficult questions, and I began to show that, you know, what is commonly taught among denominationalism is not what we learn from the pages of the New Testament. But then in the second episode, I honed in on Christ as the founder, as opposed to human founders of denominations. In this episode, our attention will be focused on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. So if you would like to locate that, if you have your Bible out with you, if you're sitting down in a place where you can do that, or if you're working or cutting grass or doing whatever while you're listening to this, just listen as I read aloud. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. The Apostle Paul has written, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So the Christianity that we learn from the pages of the New Testament, which includes Ephesians chapter 4, is that there is one body, there is one faith, and one baptism. Now, there are seven things that he says there is but one of. There is but one that they share together as Christians. And I think that's the emphasis of this section. The emphasis is that as Christians, they were to walk worthy of the calling with which they were called, verse 1. And that was to be done with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, with bearing with one another. And they were to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, verse 3. Then they're told how to do that. The way you keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is you recognize, you live by, and apply the truths that he lists, that there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And so, in this episode, I want us to really think about these ones, as they're called. Sometimes people say the seven ones. But in this particular episode, I just want to focus on three of them. One body, one faith, and one baptism. Now, the New Testament teaches that. There's one body, there's one faith, one baptism. The body, according to Ephesians chapter 1, the same letter, this is completely contextual, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it says that God put all things under Jesus' feet, gave him, that is Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is the body. The body is the church. The word church means call out, the call out assembly of God's people. They've been called out of the world by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. They have obeyed it. They've not merely heard it. It's not that they've just heard this message preached, so they quote unquote came to church. No, these are individuals who have heard the word, they've obeyed it from the heart, and they are individuals who have been called out of the world because of that. And yes, they're called together to assemble together as the church. Yes, yes, but not merely you heard something, you had an invitation, you know, you felt something in your heart, so you quote unquote went to church. No, we're talking about Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, who was being saved? Verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. That's who was added, those who gladly receiving the word were baptized. Well, why were they baptized? Because Peter told them to repent and be baptized, verse 38, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Well, why did he tell them that? Because they asked, what shall we do? Verse 37. Well, why did they ask, what shall they do? Because they heard that God had made that Jesus whom they had crucified both Lord and Christ, verse 36. So it's an answer to a question, and the question was spurred by the fact that they had heard a message, and that message pricked their heart. It cut their heart, and thus they asked this question. They were told what to do. Those that believed did it, and those that did it were added. Verse 41, Acts 2:41. And we learn to what they were added in verse 47, to the church. Well, if they were added to the church, that means they were added to the body, because the church is the body and the body is the church. And Ephesians chapter 4 says there is one body. Now, that obviously does not mean one congregation, because even in the first century, under the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit-led apostles, there was more than one congregation. But it most certainly means that there is but one body for which Jesus died. Jesus said, I will build my church, singular, not churches, not denominations, not groups who profess many bodies. Now, here's the rub. If you're a member of the church, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, then I hope this will help you. What most denominations teach is that all the denominations make up the one body. The only problem is that's not what it says. The passage doesn't say that many denominations with different names and different doctrines make up the one. It says there is but one. There is only one to which Jesus adds those that are saved. That's Acts 2:48. That's not what the Church of Christ says. That's what the Bible says. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number. Well, what was their number? The saved, the church. Daily, those who are being saved. So he doesn't add the saved to the saved. He adds to the assembly. He adds to the called out group. Who? Those who are being saved. Which church? His church. How do you know that? It says the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The church. One body. One church. There's one church. There's one body. Not one congregation. Because in the first century, Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the assemblies, the congregations of Christ, the churches of Christ, salute or greet you, Romans 16:16. So what the scriptures are describing is that there are many congregations that make up this one body. But it's a far cry from denominationalism. There is but one. And we can't merely give it lip service. We can't just say, well, I'm in the one church. You know, I'm Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Lutheran. You know, I'm an Aaronite. I'm a Dodsonite. I'm a Mormon. I'm a Catholic. I'm all these different things. And all these different groups that teach all these contradictory doctrines all make up the one. No, they don't. That's not, you say, how do you know, Aaron? Who are you to say? Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that you can teach different fundamentally contradictory doctrines and be the one church. That you can enter Christ and the church in different ways. There's but one way. And that's the thing that makes the difference between the one church and the false churches. How did you enter it? How are you added to it? If it looks different than Acts 2, verse 38 through 47, then you're not a member of it. If it looks different in my conversion experience, then I did not experience the conversion that is necessary, the biblical conversion that's necessary to be added to the church that Jesus promised, to the church that he purchased. He didn't just promise it, but he purchased it and he established it. It came to pass in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, I should say, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. There is one body, and that promotes unity. People say, well, that's too exclusive. Well, you'll have to take that up with Jesus, bottom line. Well, I don't like that. Well, you have to take that up with Jesus, because that's what Jesus said. My church, one body. Again, not one congregation, one church. and not many churches that teach different salvation steps, different plans of salvation that make up that one church, that is totally foreign to the sacred text. And dear listener, if you're listening and you've never heard that, I pray, it is my prayer that you will think about that very closely, not with emotion, but with your heart and your mind desires to be right with God, and search the scriptures. Where in the scriptures does it teach that we can believe different things, that churches can be established or made on fundamentally different doctrines of how to enter Christ, of how to enter the church, and yet we all make up the one? No, because the Lord only adds those who are saved to the church. There's one body. And He's only adding those who are saved. Only those who obey the gospel are saved. Only those who have done what Jesus said for the reason He said to do it, the way He said to do it. All of that is necessary because Satan has come along and said, well, you don't have to do what Jesus said. You don't have to do it for the reason He said to do it. Do it for a different reason. And all of those different bodies, those religious organizations, are not the one. The only way we're going to know this is if we read the scriptures and we comb over the scriptures very carefully. And that's what I'm admonishing and encouraging you to do. So, there is but one body, one church. But denominationalism teaches, no, there's many bodies, there's many churches. There's many churches, and they teach all these different things, and all that matters is that Jesus, they believe Jesus is the Son of God. The problem is there's not a verse in the Bible that says that. Doesn't matter what you teach as long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It doesn't teach that. There's no verse that says that or implies that. The New Testament says there's one body. Denominationalism says, oh, there's many bodies. So who will we believe? But let's move into the next facet of this. Paul wrote, the Holy Spirit said, there is one faith. And I realize I skipped over one Spirit, one Lord. Those are important. We'll talk about those another time. There are many people who profess to be Christians who believe there's one Holy Spirit and there's one hope and there's one Jesus. Many do. Many. But there are extremely few who believe there is but one faith. Now, obviously, Paul is not saying there's only one person that has faith, or that this is describing personal faith. Because there are many people who possess faith. Okay? But here, he's describing how there is but one system of doctrine. In verse 15, it's called the truth, faith, or the faith. And sometimes the article the is in the Greek and it's not in the English, the faith. But then sometimes it's in the English as it should be. For example, Galatians chapter 1, consider with me, let's see here, verse number, you remember this, if you're a member of the church, you remember where I'm going, where Paul says, you heard of my former conduct, how I persecuted the church of God, tried to destroy it. And he says, that's in verse 13. And then he says in verse 23, the people in Judea, they were only hearing that he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Not talking about Paul's personal faith, but the gospel system of the faith. So, one faith, not one person who believes in the faith, but one the faith, one system of faith, one system of doctrine. The same idea is described or written about in Jude verse 3. He exhorted them to contend earnestly for the faith. What's that? The gospel, the truth, the system of truth, the system of faith. And that's revealed, of course, in the written word of God. In the letter to the Ephesians, it's also styled as it's also styled as the mystery, Revelation 3:3, whereby when you read what Paul wrote, you can understand that mystery. Verse 4 is no longer a mystery. It's been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, Ephesians 3:5. The gospel system, the doctrines of the gospel, the truth. So anytime you see the faith or the gospel, know that they're referring to the same system of truth. And it says then that it is, so the gospel system, there is but one. And we learn about that system of truth from the New Testament. The Old Testament's the foundation of the New. But today we live by the gospel of Christ, not the Old Testament. So the system of faith is revealed in the 27 canonical books of the New Testament. There is one faith, and we can't change any facet of that, which leads me to one facet of that system of truth, one baptism. So there is one common body, that's the church, one common faith, the system of truth, the gospel, the truth that had once been a mystery that was now revealed in Ephesians, and there is but one baptism, one common baptism. Now, again, denominationalism teaches, you know, there's many churches and they're all okay. There's many faiths. It's okay if you believe something different about baptism. It's okay if you believe something different about the deity of Jesus. Okay if you believe something different about the one church. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. There's many faiths, the denominational world says. It's okay, you know, you just learn to agree to disagree. That's what denominationalism teaches. The Bible doesn't, but that's what many professing Christians believe. And that's because they've been influenced to think that way. This podcast is designed to give us a better understanding and to think differently because of what the Scriptures say, what they teach. There is but one baptism. What was the one common baptism that they all shared? Well, they had not all been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was Cornelius and his household and the apostles. They had not all been immersed in suffering. Some of them didn't suffer. They had not all been baptized into suffering. They were not all, baptized by John's baptism, because after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the baptism of John was obsolete. It was preparatory, and it was effective before Jesus' resurrection. But after His resurrection, it was no longer effective. Acts chapter 19, people were baptized with John's baptism. After His baptism ceased to be valid, they had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and following, everyone since the day of Pentecost had to and needs to be baptized with the one baptism of the Great Commission. The one that was last at the end of the age, Acts 28, verse 20. This commission that He gave regarding water baptism was to last to the end of the age. And the apostles were to administer it. Go make disciples by baptizing them. So there are not many baptisms in effect today. There are not many baptisms that all true Christians share. No, there is but one. And it's the baptism that Jesus gave in the Great Commission when He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. That baptism wouldn't make sense for it to be any other immersion. It's the one that the disciples were told to administer. You go and baptize. We learn from the book of Acts very clearly that it's always water. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Acts chapter 8, the eunuch, and particularly verse 36. Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said that, or he asked that just after he heard Jesus preached. So when you hear Jesus preached the way they taught it then, You realize there are not many baptisms. There are not many ways to be baptized. Well, if you want to be baptized to show you're saved, you want to be baptized to outward sign of inward grace, you want to be baptized just to be added to our local quote-unquote church, our local quote-unquote denomination. No, 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 no. One baptism, the one that Jesus gave that was to last to the end of the age. You say, well, how do you know which one that was? The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 and 41 tells us it was baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, that in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, same thing, same authority, for the purpose of orienting one toward salvation, to go from being a sinner to a saint, from being lost to being saved, from being unredeemed to being redeemed, from being unsanctified to sanctified, from being unjustified and damned to being justified and spotless. You say, what? That's a lot. Yes, and it's very simple. It coincides exactly with what the Lord Jesus said. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. It goes right along with Acts 22:16. Ananias told Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There are not many baptisms that are now effective. There is but one. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ. It's for the remission of sins. And when one obeys that, according to Acts 2:47, they are added by the Lord to the one body. Why? Because they obeyed the one faith. See, denominationalism doesn't teach that. It teaches unity in diversity. It teaches that you can believe whatever you want as long as you believe Jesus is the Son of God. But the New Testament doesn't teach that. And I'm praying that God will use me to spread the truth more. Folks, I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to make more money. Folks, I'm here to serve the Lord. I love the Lord, and I love the gospel, and I love the souls of men and women. Jesus hung on the cross for all men and women, and He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. He's not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. So, will you come to repentance? If you're listening to this and you have not, in faith of Jesus Christ, repented, changed your heart of your sins, if you have not, confess the name of Jesus before others, Romans 10:9-10. If you have not been baptized unto the remission of sins, then today is your day. Right now is your time. And if I can assist you, you can reach out. You can find me on social media. I'd be happy to help you in any way that I can. There is a striking contrast between New Testament Christianity and denominationalism, even in regard to the one body, the one faith, and the one baptism. If you're listening and you have questions, you can find me. You can reach out to me. I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook. You can interact with me on Podbean. You can interact with me on Spotify. Like it, share it, get it around. If you believe that what I have taught has been useful to you, it has been beneficial to you, I ask you to do me a favor. Interact with me. Like the podcast. Like the Podbean channel. Give me a good review if you think I deserve that. And share this episode with others for God's glory. Thanks for tuning in to the Give Me Understanding podcast. We'll catch you next time.